Welcome back to the roundtable. More than 90 communities across the country take part in the Lung Cancer Alliance's Shine a Light on Lung Cancer Vigil throughout the month of November. A vigil at Albany Medical Center Hilton Garden Inn will take place Thursday night, November 14th at 5:30. The Alliance is looking to advocate for public health dollars for research for cheap, widely available early detection like blood or urine tests and provide patient support services, and they look to triple lung cancer survivorship by the year 2020. Joining us now to tell us more, we welcome Dr. Hilton Hosanna. He is a thoracic surgeon and assistant professor at Albany Medical Center. It's a delight to have him join us this morning. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
We also welcome Betsy McPhail. She built a network of support as a caregiver, which gave her the support she needed to get through. Her 20-something sister was diagnosed and died from lung cancer. Thank you very much for being here.
Good morning.
And Phyllis Goldstein is director of Lung Cancer Alliance New York and a never-smoker survivor who found the path of advocacy to honor the death of her best friend and her father to lung cancer. And Phyllis, thank you so much for being here as well.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about the Alliance itself, Phyllis, and the work you're doing.
Well, the Lung Cancer Alliance provides three vital functions, and you alluded to them. First of all, there's a lot of stigma associated with lung cancer, and people tend to blame the victim, so to speak. And unfortunately, people who get lung cancer have awful feelings of guilt that they need to overcome, and some never overcome it, and therefore don't even get the treatment that they need. And unfortunately, this negative attitude may prevail by their family members, by their community, and healthcare providers, unfortunately.
Where does the guilt come from, do you think?
Well, people say, well, you smoked there, if you smoked, you therefore you deserve it. And no one deserves to get and die from lung cancer. And we're blaming the wrong source. We should be blaming the tobacco companies who are making cigarettes and other tobacco products even more addictive than they already are.
And you make the point, as I think throughout our introductions, that you were a non-smoker. Those who you lost were non-smokers. Your sister...
Non-smoker.
So there's a commonality there.
Right. 80% of newly diagnosed lung cancer patients are either former smokers or never smokers. And 25,000 never smoking women will be diagnosed with lung cancer this year.
So, Dr. Hosanna, what do you make of efforts like this, and how ultimately, in your view, can we get a handle on the situation?
Well, these sorts of efforts are very important, and I think from a healthcare standpoint, as someone who helps to treat this problem, it's important that we meet the patient where they are in terms of meeting them without a judgmental attitude. Meeting them in terms of giving them information that they may need, providing them with adequate resources, providing them with the latest information, for instance, information involving early detection, and also when it comes to treatment, treating the patients in a holistic way and with a multidisciplinary approach. That's a very important part.
How important is early detection?
Early detection can be very important. We've discovered really that for those patients that are candidates for early detection, and we can talk about the details of what that detection is, we can see a 20% reduction in overall mortality, and that's very substantial.
Right now, unfortunately, the only proven method for early detection is the CT scan, which is only available now to high-risk people. But there are many people who are not at high risk, like myself, who would benefit from, as you said earlier, a blood test if that were available, or a urine test. So we need a lot more research. And the Lung Cancer Alliance is pushing for public health dollars to get that research done.
And so it's possible, you think, doctor, to have a blood test or urine test that would at least let you know if you should go to the next step, which would be the CAT scan.
That's what I think we're all aiming for, and to try to make something like that available to people. I think would represent sort of the Holy Grail. Yeah.
Betsy McPhail, you have an interesting story in that you were a caregiver for your sister, and I think it's safe to say that none of this was supposed to happen, right?
Exactly. If you're a normal 24-year-old and you're healthy, you're not supposed to get lung cancer. It's not even something that's on your radar.
And how did it come on your radar?
Tracy was sick. She couldn't breathe. She was coughing. She didn't feel well. She just kind of didn't feel like herself. And unfortunately, because no one suspected lung cancer, it took several months for her to get diagnosed. And at that point, it was already stage four.
And from the time she was diagnosed to the time she passed was how long?
About 10 months.
Wow. And your job as a caregiver through that time, obviously it changed as the needs changed, but...
Yes, and it all happened so fast. We just kind of went from one thing to the next, from surgery to chemo to radiation to going to Dana-Farber to just one thing. There wasn't any time to stop and think or plan. It was all very reactive.
Understanding, of course, doctor, that every case is different, is this something that can be tremendously fast-moving, as in many cases?
Yes, it can be. Unfortunately, what you just heard is all too common, unfortunately. Only 15% of patients, when they present with symptoms and are discovered to have lung cancer, only 15% of those patients are in an early enough stage to be managed with surgery and to be moved in the direction of a successful outcome. So that's where early detection can be important, because finding these patients far earlier in the process will catch the disease earlier and allow it to be treated earlier.
You specialize in treatment of benign and malignant disease of the esophagus and lung, and I assume mostly that is cancer, but other
yes,
diseases as
yes,
well.
Yes.
Yeah. And surgically, how positive an outcome is that?
It can have a big impact, early detection. There are a couple of areas where surgery has an impact in this problem. It has an impact in terms of helping to make the diagnosis. Most people are aware of different types of biopsies that may be offered to patients. So surgery may have a role there. It can also have a role in treatment in terms of resecting tumors. But the important thing to remember is that the earlier the stage, so earlier the size of the tumor, the earlier in its development that the tumor is detected, the easier it is to treat and successfully remove.
And to give people hope, I'm a 10-year lung cancer survivor, and I was lucky because my cancer was discovered at stage 3A. And I did have surgery, which is the gold standard, and followed by chemo and radiation, and no recurrence of lung cancer. So I'm really lucky. But my father, and as you said earlier, and my best friend weren't so lucky. And I like to say that I owe my life to my best friend, because when she fell off the patio and broke her arm near her shoulder, when she went to the emergency room, they had an x-ray of her chest, saw a shadow, and found out she did have stage 4 lung cancer. Never smoker, no symptoms. 6 months later, I had a cold, and then when it went away, I had an occasional cough, and thanks to my husband, who begged me to go to the doctor, I finally went, and I was diagnosed with stage 3A lung cancer. It's a real shock.
So he was diagnosed after you were?
No, I.
No, you were, okay, but your husband, when
no,
was?
No. He didn't have lung cancer.
Okay,
He urged me
to get
a scan. Yeah.
But as far as your father, he had passed.
Oh, when I was 18 years old.
18 years old.
Yeah, yeah. And at that time, I had to support my mom. When I was 18, take care of all the household debts, mortgage, whatever. which is a big load for an 18-year-old just out of high school.
Absolutely, and certainly something I'm sure that Betsy can relate to, too, of having to deal with that. It brings up the question of the genetic nature of this disease. And what do we know about that?
Well, we're discovering more and more that there is a genetic component, to be sure, and for all the reasons that were given previously about the fact that so many patients that have lung cancer have never smoked, many of them, or have quit before. So there is definitely a genetic component, and this is a very promising area for a new drug investigation.
When you're going to be having this vigil on Thursday night at the Albany Medical Center, right, Hilton Garden Inn, which is right across from Albany Med, and you hope to accomplish what?
All right. One is public education to help dispel the myths surrounding lung cancer, to provide an atmosphere of compassion, hope, and support to survivors and to people who are caregivers like Betsy. Also, the information that we hope to have is the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force has recently recommended that lung cancer early screening for high-risk people should have a grade of B, which means that insurance companies like Medicare and private insurance will pick it up, which now it doesn't, as an early screening procedure. Also, he's going to talk about new cancer treatments. And we have three advocates who will be talking about how they found their paths to hope.
All this going on Thursday night at 5:30 at the Albany Medical Center, Hilton Garden Inn. You can find out more information by going to lungcanceralliance.org, and it will bring you into the Albany Alliance, and you can find out more information there and about the wonderful work that's being done throughout our area and throughout our seven-state region. Again, it's lungcanceralliance.org, and this event taking place at the Albany Medical Center, Hilton Garden Inn, Thursday night at 5:30. Dr. Hosanna, Betsy, and Phyllis, thank you so much for joining us this morning. I do appreciate your time.
Thank you.
It was a pleasure.
Thank you so much. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.